Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Regular viewers of the Under the Cosh YouTube channel know, yes, I am a dedicated follower of fashion and without a shadow the most dapper member of the Under the Cosh team, which is why I've been given the honour and the privilege of passing on a special message from Stitch Fix. Now, if you don't know what Stitch Fix is, well, let me tell you, Stitch Fix is the online personal styling service, yes, where the expert stylist picks clothes just for you based on your taste, your size, your budget, and they send them straight to your door. How about that? You know, maybe you're one of these, you just can't find the right clobber. You know, it happens to the best of us. Luckily, I've got the eye, but I know there's people out there that haven't, and they need a helping hand, and that's where Stitch Fix comes in. It's really easy. All you're going to do is fill out a quick style quiz about your clothing preference on the simple-to-use website, pick your delivery date, and then it's all over to the stylist, who'll hand-select and send you 5 items of clothing in your preferred fit. All you're going to do then, try them on, check yourself out in mirror, bit of strutting in bedroom, and then decide which ones you want to buy. The ones you don't like, just send them back. Send the buggers back, simple as that. There's a £10 charge for the stylist, but delivery and returns are absolutely free. Dead easy, and what it does mean, no more trawling through websites, no more trawling around shop, trawling around for hours on end. No need to do that. Someone's picking your clothes out for you. They've got loads of great brands available as well as their own exclusive range. You pay just £10 for the expert to pick out your gear that best suits you. And you can even, get this, you can even redeem that £10 against all the items that you decide to keep. And, get this, it gets better. If you keep all 5 items that they pick out for you, you get 20% off. How about that? You don't even have to subscribe if you don't want to. You can order one-off deliveries whenever you like. All you're going to do to get started with Stitch Fix today is go to stitchfix.co.uk/cosh. That's stitchfix.co.uk/cosh. And get started with Stitch Fix today. Just think, when you go down quiz on Thursday with all your new clobber on, eh? Sandra and Janice at bar, eyeing you up. Oh, they'll burn them off you. Oh.
How we doing? We're back.
Are we starting?
Yes.
We've only been off a week, haven't we?
We're back. People might think we might not be able to make it. Pandemic. Technological advances are seeing us through.
Yes, it's. I'll be honest with you, it's well out of my comfort zone, this malarkey. Yeah, so do you want to just like? Well, basically, what we're doing is we're doing the intro for today's podcast on Zoom.
Yeah, we're doing it via video link.
You might be thinking, well, why did they not just record the intro? Well, so we're doing the podcast. And it's a very good question. Why didn't we do that, lads?
We're out of time. Yeah. We're out of, the kitchen was shutting.
Yeah, last orders, wasn't it?
Yeah. We need to order some snap, didn't we? But we like to be unconventional, don't we?
You look the part, though.
Well, it's nice to be able to relax in your dressing gown, isn't it? You know what I mean?
You're a natural.
The old cock and balls are swinging out under the off the chair. Job done.
By the way, I've been spreading fake news.
Oh, why?
Simon Ramsden had a tattoo on his ball bag, not his foreskin.
Oh
yeah, I've seen it as well. To be fair, the actual photo when he's getting it done, he looks like he's actually quite enjoying it in a perverse sort of way, doesn't it?
Yeah, he looks like he's incoherent.
It's like the old way you'd be thinking, he's squinting and whatever.
His mate.
Would it hurt that much on the scrotum? You know, if you pulled it
I'll tell you what then, you'll get your Oscar to chat throwing some darts at yours. You'll let us know, won't you?
Here we are, in solitary confinement.
Yeah, in his own houses. We're hoping it works really well and we can do them all like this and then we never have to see each other again. That'd be fantastic for you, wouldn't it, Chrissy?
I'm quite enjoying this, social distancing.
Yeah?
I've never
been honest with you. I'm starting to get a bit fucking pissed off with it now, I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. You think it's good, don't you? Like, oh, every week watching Netflix and take it, get shutting yourself away from outside world, but it's not good. Not good.
You're a social fiend, aren't you?
I am. I tell you what, I was talking about last night with the old missile, right? Do you know? Basically, we're in Big Brother, aren't we? You know, his own version of Big Brother.
Yeah.
But if you think you're in Big Brother with 11 people you don't know. You've got no television, no phone, or no. It's given me an all new perspective of how hard it must be in Big Brother.
Imagine you've got, unless you've got your neighbours looking in on you, it's not, you haven't got 12 million people watching, have you?
No.
Imagine yeah. There's no one around the end either.
Imagine being in there for a month with no telly, no phone. I'm doing at least 12 hours a day on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm going the other way. I've never been to a Zelfie.
Have you not?
I'm eating well. I've been out every day for a run because it's your only opportunity to get out of the house.
What time did you get to bed last night?
5.
It's best time to run at middle of night, isn't it?
As well, I've been on here socialising with everyone. You don't usually see that often. Quizzes have been going and everything, and I've been loving it.
Not just a normal quiz, though, is it?
Oh no, it's fancy dress. You've got to go, the old works.
Who does a fancy dress quiz in their own house on the internet?
I could live like this all the time.
I'll tell you what I have done. Over 30 miles of walking this week.
Brilliant, isn't it?
It's mintonious. Mintabulous. As old Norm has said. Over 30 miles I've done.
You only meant to do an hour a day.
I know, it's a fast walk. You know, it's like...
PC
Brown here, fuck off.
Health Minister.
Wildlife's coming out because there's no cars. I saw a rabbit and 3 rats today on my run.
Did you really?
I go through golf course. There were a family of 4 having a picnic in one at Bunkers. Honestly, I swear down.
Not one at Bunkers. Down. Maybe on one at Tees, but not Bunker.
It Bunker. Well, can't go to Seaside at weekend. Get them Valley Nets.
Are you getting paranoid yet when a cop car drives past you? Just do stretching or do summer. I was out walking with a little one. I shit my pants.
Yeah. That's why you always got to text your emergency paper when you go on the walks.
A tennis racket or summer.
I have the guy at my local garage must think that he must think I'm like fucking Gazza. He must be thinking, I'm sure you bought 12 cans of lager yesterday.
You can't even blame anybody else either. You can't say it's for you.
I know, I know.
Have you not been bulk buying?
I bought 20 yesterday. I'm going to have to go back again tomorrow. Not else to do, is there?
What's your nightwear attire consist of, Johnny?
I've just got my dressing gown on, love.
Are you hanging loose under there?
Oh, aye, of course I am. Yeah. Very comfortable. I would tell you, very comfortable.
I knew that already, to be honest.
Do you get dress go garage or just pop your slippers on?
I've been walking dog in my jammer bottoms. Fuck it. I think we're in for the long haul, by the way, chaps. I don't think it's going to be stopping anytime soon.
No, they're saying June, aren't they? But we're doing our best. We might be able to get a guest on through this medium.
Yeah, well, we'll try as best, won't we? I think we should be able to sort some attacks, shouldn't we?
In the face of adversity.
Yes, that's exactly it. But what we got today, anyway?
Glenn Little.
Oh yes, I enjoy Glenn's.
It's a two-parter.
Is it fucking really? That's not because we're really struggling for guests at all, is it? That's
no, just possibly, no, but... no. To be fair, it'd be a two-parter anyway once we got into it. It's a good one.
Yeah?
It's a good one. Stan Turner and Eddie, who's just been put into the group straight away.
Top 10?
Oh, easy.
The elaborate, is it Is it up to the elaborate 11, is it?
He definitely didn't know my name either. I was he was actually saying that his memory's terrible apart from football. He said I could name off every game, every score, and every goal scorer of the Reading promotion season.
What's your name again, pal, in the corner?
I went, I know you're forgetting my name, haven't you? And he just carried on what he was saying. He didn't even
Are you coping all right, Chris?
I'm all right. Never walked as much.
Yeah.
It's been on lockdown since he retired, him.
Yeah. Just every normal day for me, this.
Oh, he's gone.
Thank fuck for that.
Have I, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Can't see you.
Oh, what fucking hell, what's happened now? She's gone to bed and all. Oh, fuck. Oh, what's happening? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm still here, Anna.
You're still here. We can hear you. We just can't see you.
That's probably not too, that's probably not a bad thing, to be honest, because I'm getting a bit sweaty, so I'm just about to take the dressing gown off.
Well, Glenn, should we get him out?
I'll get him in.
Yes. Yeah,
you've had a knock.
Let him have a... he's still 20 minutes away, but his nose has just hit the door.
Come on, Glenn.
Enjoy,
yeah. Cheerio. Well, I'm saying cheerio, I'm not even fucking here, am I? Right, lads.
Glenn Little, how are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Thanks, right, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks for coming on, pal.
Yeah, no probs.
On us travels again, aren't we?
Yeah. I don't even know where we are. Where are we?
Yeah, Morton and Marsh. Sun's out. We've had a bit of rain, but sun's out. So you picked a nice day for it. Nice setting. So
lovely part of the
place. We'll have some still good stories.
Morton in Marshes. We just follow the sat nav, didn't we?
Cotswolds, yeah.
It's Cotswolds, yeah. Not
very
bad,
nice.
Yeah.
To be fair, I didn't used to live far from here.
Middle of
really.
Nowhere.
What?
Stroud. I had two
Forest
years in Stroud.
From the Forest Green, yeah. When Parky sold his soul for the money.
Went back to Korea, top of boring,
That's the third time he's mentioned that.
I went to the I went for the football experience. I went to try and make myself a vegan. Yeah. Just never materialised.
That's the quickest I've ever seen somebody drink a coffee, either.
Yeah, it's nice that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, liven me up that.
I spoke to Blakey on the way down, Robbie Blake.
There's a name from the past. Strangely enough, though, he's Robbie and I'm Blakey. It was at Burnley. So,
where's that come from?
Bit strange. Well, my nickname was Blakey from on the buses. You lot should remember it, but because you're a bit older. But back in the day, that was my nickname, and it sort of went from Crystal Palace when I was a youngster all the way through my career. So at Burnley, Robbie turned up. He had to be Robbie because there was already a
Blakey. Yeah,
the only one.
Yeah, Blakey thought, why is the gaffer? I've just signed for £1 million and the gaffer's always on my back. And I was like, no, that's me, Blakey. Yeah. I said, but just wait a while. He'll come for you as well. And he did. Yeah. We've Stan, yeah. So
he mentioned him, actually.
He had a bit of a honeymoon period, but then, yeah, Robbie soon got on his back as well. Yeah.
What was he like? Yeah, tenant.
Well, with Stan, it was just something you just can't really believe how especially the day is now with the game in this day and age that things happen. But at the time, you're just thinking, well, this is normal. You just went along with it. And you'd heard stories what it was like at Bury. So when he got the job, everyone sort of knew what to expect, but until you live it every day, it's just with Stan, it was a roller coaster. And
a good one.
I've had a lot. Well, it was up and down. I don't know about you. Yeah, you got off a couple of times and felt sick, I'll tell you that. But yeah, it was just strange how it. And then ever since I've left and I had other clubs after, you actually realised it was a one off.
Yeah.
It's just with Stan. And I'd had quite a tough upbringing at Crystal Palace, which had a lot of characters. A lot of big, tough characters that were old school. So it was times in training, you'd see quite a few fights, you'd see the rows in the dressing room. So I always said, no, well, not at 17, no. I was a cocky little fucker, they used to say, even at 17. I remember the first year I was actually there as an apprentice, I was out the whole year. I had a broken leg. So I was out for 2 years, really. I went from 15, to 16, had a broken leg. And then I came back after about 8 months, broke my leg again. Same place, just they said it was a bit of a freak. So I just said, right, get it right. I'm going to do the whole first year apprenticeship. I just won't play. And then I'll just come back for the second year. So I was basically just the dog's body. I was doing everything. I was just helping the kit man with everything. I was stood behind the goals in the freezing cold, just getting balls out the ditch, out the back of the training ground, out the bushes, freezing cold. Because back in them days, you'd be shivering. You never had any kit as an apprentice. You're out there, T-shirt, just socks short. With holes in it. Buck to gear it was, I can remember. But yeah, you were scrambling around just to get any training kit. So I was just the dog's body. And the best thing about it was lunch for me. I love my food, so I'd get in and I'd be sitting on first in table with the first to eat my lunch. And the amount of first in players that would come in and say, fucking hell, look at him. He's not even played all season. He had a broken leg and he's sat on the first in table eating lunch. And they used to say to the youth team manager, he's a cocky little fucker, isn't he? And the youth team manager said, yeah, it'll go far, won't he? And they were probably like, yeah. So I wouldn't say I went far, but I suppose I did all right. So, like I said, I had a bit of a tough upbringing at Palace, but then Stan, having Adrian Heath sign me at Burnley, lasted 6 months, and then he left. I got to the end of the season, been a bit stop-start, didn't play too much, sub, and had a few games, and then end of the season he said, look, you've come in from Ireland. So he said, now, you've seen what it's like, you know the club, you know the players, come back, have a proper pre-season, and then you'll start next year. So, okay, thanks, Inchy. I was on holiday and picked up the paper and I've seen Inchy left to Everton with Harold Kendall. So I thought, oh, well, there goes that. So, yeah, Chris Waddle then comes in. Chris Waddle came in, only management job he had. And yeah, he came in. That. Well, no. Unfortunately, I can. Because he never played me at the start. He came in, he made five or six signings, never played me all the way up until Christmas. And then we were bottom of the league, finally gave me a go, and then that started my Burnley career. We ended up staying up on the last day, and the rest is history, they say.
Did
so
Glenn Roder give you some
Glenn Roder, we had the best management ever in League One. We had Chris Waddle, Glenn Roder assistant, Gordon Cowan's reserve team manager, and Chris Wood's goalkeeping coach. And the first interview, Chris Waddle said, yeah, we've been in this division a minute too long as it is, and we're going to take them out of it. And they nearly did, but
the wrong
it was the wrong way. So, nearly took us into League Two. So I don't know why, but they had a supporters meeting, and I think a few fans just said, "Why isn't Glenn Little playing?" And Glenn Roder piped up and said, "Because he can't lace Chris Waddle's boots, because Waddle was actually still playing." He was in and out. He was playing left wing, right wing. He put himself up front at times. He even went sweeper. He tried to go five at the back, played a sweeper role. So to this day, Burnley fans still talk about it and they aren't happy. They still say it's a disgrace. But to me, it never bothered me. I got to be honest, I love Chris Waddle as a player and I wouldn't say I modelled myself on him. But the irony of it is that the chief scout at Burnley, Clive Middlemass, he come and watched me in Ireland, and when I came over to sign for Burnley, he said about you, he said, I saw you play in a game, midweek game, and he said, I just thought, I've seen the next Chris Waddle.
You have the mullet going on.
I didn't have the mullet, but he said, yeah, I found the next Chris Waddle. So I thought, oh, so everyone thought he'd love me. He come in, you play like him, that winger, looks like he's knackered after 5 minutes and then gets the ball and off he goes, beating two or three men. So I thought this is good. And then, like I said, he never played me. But I've never had a problem with Chris Waddle. I didn't mind him. And when I got my chance, it actually went really well. And we all thought, like I said, we stayed up. We would have been, from Christmas, maybe pushing for the playoffs. So everyone thought, right, he knows the right team to pick. he knows the players now, maybe a bit of an experienced manager first season, but he's learnt, and then we'll be right next season. And then again, I'm on holiday and he leaves. So I've already seen off two managers and I've only been there a year and a bit. And then, like I said, the fun and games started with Stan coming in.
What were you like as a manager, Waddle, in comparison to Turner?
He was inexperienced, I think you showed that, but he never seemed... The one thing that you did notice, he never seemed that it mattered too much. He's lived in Sheffield, so he was travelling in and... You always felt Rhoda was the one doing the team talks, right? Come on, he'd try and give you a bit of advice. Waddle, very easy, Ozzy, just not really...
Like you were as a player,
really. Yeah, not really a man management, wouldn't really talk to anyone. He was quite quiet and that was it, really. And because it didn't go well, whether if he had stayed, like I said, I was a bit disappointed he left because I thought, right, we figured it out now. And the one thing I took from him, he said about the bravery, you're struggling... But you got to want the ball still. And with that Turf Moor crowd, when there's 10,000 and you're losing and the boos are starting after 5 minutes, he said, you got to be brave. And that's what it's all about. Do you want the ball with a couple of players around you? And so it would have been interesting if he'd have stayed at Burnley. What if he'd have improved? Could he have done any good? But I suppose it probably sums up, like I said, did he really give it a real go? Because he never managed... ever since.
It
wasn't as if he said, okay, Burnley, it didn't go my way, but I'll get back in somewhere. It just one season and that was it.
That's sickly from Rhoda, though, isn't it? Saying that, but obviously he was a gaffer, you can't wear Chris Waddle's boots.
But in fairness, I could see what he meant, because Waddle was a great player. But yeah, saying it about a young player, and Burnley was, they did love their young players, and there was a core. When I first signed, there was five of us. There was me, Paul Weller, Andy Cook, Chris Brass and Paul Smith. And I think Burnley were hoping these five youngsters, all sort of 21 and under, they were going to be the future of the club. And so to say it about someone who signed, hadn't really played, and then you're saying that. But again, it never really bothered me. I've seen Glenn Rhoda over the years and spoke to him. Never had a problem. Get on fine with Glenn. I've got to be honest, he isn't the most popular person. I'm in Burnley. There were quite a few players who didn't like him. But that's football, isn't it? So, yeah, again, one season. If they had had longer, could they have kicked on? We'll never know. But then they went for someone, tried and tested. The man who was down the road at Bury, who Burnley looked on as just small fry, just a bit of a poor club, yet Burnley were in League One struggling with 10,000 and Bury were in the Championship, League Two, League One, in the Championship. And they'd seen what Stan had done there and thought, let's get him in here. Stan lived in Burnley as well, loved the club. So they thought, right, this is the man, and they were spot on. It, like I said, there was a few bumps in the road along the way and a few punches thrown and a few teacups gone.
Tell us where that bumps.
But, well, when he first come in, not many people actually know. I'd actually met him before. There was a reserve manager called Harry Wilson at Burnley. We called him Harry the Bastard. People used to say, why do you call him Harry the Bastard? And you'd think, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Self-explanatory.
Should I have to explain that? But I remember I was sat home one afternoon when I wasn't playing under Chris Waddle, and he turned up at the door and he said, come on, you're coming with me. And I thought, okay, all right, Harry. So we drive around Burnley, we get to this house, down the little side alley, knock on the door, woman answers, hello, yeah, hello, Harry, yeah, hello, you Glenn? Yeah, okay. In you come, I'm thinking... What's going on here? Yeah. So I walk in the front room.
You think he's taking you to a knocking shop?
Stands in the armchair with a fag. Hello, son. And I'm thinking, I know when you think, I know him from somewhere, but I still don't know who the fuck this is. And I'm in this bloke's house, and the wife's come in. Yeah, do you want a cup of tea, Glenn? Okay. So then, and then he's talking now, and I'm thinking, so I'm, yeah, so I'm trying to work out, where have I seen him? He lives in Burnley, is he manager? So yeah, I'm thinking. And then he's saying, like, we're struggling at the minute in the Championship. I've got Dave Johnson up front, who's got that pace. I think, John, oh, yeah, Barry. This is it, Stan Turnant. That's it. And he says, you're the missing piece to the jigsaw. So I'm thinking, oh, right, he's talking about signing me for Bury. So again, I think, well, it's not far down the road. And I'm going from League One, where I can't even get a game. I'll be in the Championship playing. He said, I'm the missing piece of the jigsaw. so half hour with Stan. Yeah, and the last thing he said, how much they want for you? I said, well, I don't know. I said, but they paid 50 grand with 50 for the amount of games I played, so it could go up to 100 grand. And he said, don't worry, I'll get you out of there. Oh, okay, Stan, see you later. So off I went. This was in about October time. Never, ever heard from him again. And then I'm playing January. I get my chance under Chris Waddle. Played the rest of the season. Went really well. And then the next time I see Stan, he walks in and there he goes. He actually rung me up and he said, they've offered you a contract. Chris Waddle had offered me a contract. And then he said, go away and think about it. So just go home for the summer. Off I went. And then Chris Waddle got the sack. So now, okay, he offered me a contract, but there's no manager now. So Stan come in, he said, so he rang me up, he said, yeah, I've got the job. He said, they've offered you this contract, but it's shit. They'd offered me £800 a week. And he said, it's shit. I'm going to give you 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 with a 30 grand signing on fee. So I thought, okay, yeah. I can't wait to get going.
Stan's the man.
I'll fetch you some facts about Stan from Spain.
I've not even had an agent or anything, and I've gone from 800, new manager. There you go, 3-year deal. Oh, yeah, thanks, Stan. Can't wait to get going. Yeah, so pre-season, and then he come in, and it was just, right, okay, first week went all right, okay, and then we went down to Exeter. On the pre-season tour, stayed at the uni there. And then it was the fun and games. And then here we go. That's when it started. And right, this isn't going to be easy. So
I should have gone 1,300, 1,400, 1,450.
Just the train as well. But then we had a game on the Saturday. And he said, right, we're going down the pub about 7 o'clock. And he said, so we're all down the pub. Lovely sunny day down Exeter. And he said, you can go out. But you've got to be back by 12. Okay, yeah. So off he goes. So 8 o'clock, it's going to town. So off you go. You're having places. You pop into a few places. And now it's like half 10, 11. Well, we've got to be back in an hour. So then once you have a few drinks, now people, we ain't going to. What's going to happen? They're not going to get back at 12. It's night's just got going. And then a few people, no, there's supposed to be a club down by the riverside. Okay, right. Yeah, okay. So we'll pop down there. So now we're in there. It got to about 1 o'clock. I'm thinking, I better go now. I weren't in a good state, put it that way.
So
I've left about 6 or 7 in there. I said, no, I better go. Then ended up falling asleep on this bench in Exeter. So waking up, right, I better get back. So now I'm off on this long walk. You couldn't get a cab. So it's
what
about
time
20
you
minute
up?
Walk. It's about 1:45. So I'm off, set off this long walk out of the Exeter city centre. Now just on this dark road, it was all the way to the uni. Then out of nowhere, Chris Brash jumps on me back, scares the living daylights out of me. Oh, shit myself, Brassy. And he goes, come on, we better hurry up. I went, Brassy, look, it's nearly 2 o'clock. I think we're going to find Brassy. You're already late. Come on, let's just settle down. I said, do you actually think he's going to be waiting? So, okay. So we walk across and you come across this big green and you see our building. And there was this big wall with this long hedge, about 50 yards it went on for. But we see this light above the door and there's a bit of a shadow.
It's like
so
a
as we're school, walking across like the green, thing, I'm isn't it? Thinking, hey, man, is someone actually there? So through the hedge, there was a little gap by the wall. I thought, well, I'm not going to walk up to the far end of the path, 50 yards. I just jump over the wall here. So I get in between the hedge. I jump over this wall and he's there at the door. And he shoved me back. He said, like, what the fuck you doing? He shoved me back over the wall. So Brassy's all the way. Brassy's the goody two shoes. He's 21 going on 41. Club skipper at 21. He's one of them Brassy.
I can't believe, but Zaydim is the manager. I can't believe he was stayed out till after 12.
No, well, no, that as well. Maybe Brassy, yeah, he maybe fell asleep. Because I can't believe why he's not there.
But you're spooning on that bench.
But anyway, I'm shouting up. I said, Brassy. He said, what? I said, he's there. I said, don't worry. I said, don't worry, Brassy. Let me do the talking. You'll be all right. So I'm coming down the path. So we turn. He's 50 yards. Here we go. We're walking down. I said, Gaffer, you won't believe it. We're trying to get a cab. He said, shut the fuck up. you won't play for the club again. Well, I just signed a new deal. A 3-year deal. What? And he went, and you, club skipper, yeah, you're finished. You won't play for the club again. So Brassy's nearly crying. We go into the rooms. Brassy's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell Kim? His missus. Like, no, what am I going to tell Kim? I said, Brassy, come on. Like, you just signed a new deal. Of course we're going to play. There's a game Tuesday. Come on, settle down. So as the night goes on, we're up in the rooms, in the dorms, and people are coming back. It's 2:30, and yeah. And you can hear people with excuses. That there's one boy, this Australian called Mark Robertson, he's turned up. He's like, come on, Stan. He's like, yeah, come on. No, I'm trying to do an Australian accent. Yeah.
It's not going well.
Good day, Stan. Like, come on. And he's like, fucking Stan, you'll be busking back on Sydney Harbour Bridge. He's like, and then so everyone's coming in. So we wake up in the morning, training's been cancelled. We're all sat there, and Sammy's number two, Sam Ellis. Everyone's like, come on, Sam, look, what's going on? People are starting to shit themselves now. And he's like, well, there's no training. I don't know. And so Stan, he comes marching out. He's got the clipboard. He's going through the times like Glenn Little, like 158, Chris Brass, 158. He's, yeah, Mark Robertson, Steve Blatherwick, 217. He's listing them off. He got to 3:30. He said, at 3:30, I went to bed. And he said, Lee Howie, Mark Winstanley, Neil Moore, get your bags, fuck off back to Burnley on the train. You're finished, you never play for the club again. So off they went. So now, what, we've got a game Tuesday? There's only 4 players available to play. There's no one's going to play for the club again, other than 4 that stayed in. So that was some weekend there thinking, hang on a minute, what are we going to do? So he laid the law down. Ronnie Jepson, who he'd brought in, he knew from Bury. Jeppo, what's going on? What's going to happen? Has he done this before? And Jeppo's like, I don't know. You know what he's like? I'm telling you, I've seen this bit of things like this before. So straight away, it was okay. And then the season started struggling. And then it was just an absolute shambles and a mess.
So the three actually got sent home.
Got sent home on the train. I'm trying to think, did they play? A couple of them might not have played.
Second chance.
But might have had a couple of chances. And then it came out about 4 games into the season. We had quite a few injuries, 7 or 8 injuries. Lost 1-0 at home to York. Shocking result. And he came on the radio and he said, I've told these 4 players, I think it was Mickey Williams again, Lee Howie, it might have been Steve Blavick, Mark Winstanley, that's it. They're finished at the club. And they never played again. He come out and all the fans, again, that's unheard of, a manager saying that. They always say, don't you, you never go public with what happened to the dressing room, mention players' names, and he come out. I was driving home in a car and thought, all right, well, that's them, and that was it.
Is that Lee Howie or Warwick Newcastle?
Lee Howie or Sunderland. No, Steve Howie's brother. Yeah. So, and the thing is, Lee Howie, he used to travel up and down. Sometimes I used to let him stay at my house and I needed someone to cook, and he'd done a lovely pasta dish. So he said, it's not if I stay at yours, like the Friday night before the game, Glenn. I said, you can stay Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night if you're cooking up that every day. So he used to go back and forth, and he was struggling with his back. And I said, well, I'm not surprised you keep 2 hours in that car doing that travelling. But he played. And I remember I was injured. I'd had probably the hamstring. I don't know why I was injured, but it was probably a good guess. It was my hamstring. So I'm out. And I said, well, Lee, you're struggling. You're back. But he played. And then it sort of sometimes... So there's a lesson in it. Sometimes don't try and help anyone out. If you're not fit, then just don't play. But there were 7 or 8 of us. We were all sat in the stand. And like Lee played and then never played for the club again. And had to come in and no train with the kids and everything. And
I had Brassy as my manager, you know, at York.
Was he young manager, Brassy?
27,
wasn't he?
I think he was.
Well, that sums it up, 27. Yeah.
Manager at 27. Brassy,
yeah, the only player to break his nose with his own...
Scoring like, the own goal.
In his own
did
goal.
Did he break
yeah.
it, did he?
Yeah, oh. broke his nose.
That's on them, one of them
blooper videos. Yeah, I always see it.
It's one of the best.
Tried the overhead kick clearance and
kicked him
best own goal and then broke his nose as well, Brassy, yeah.
He's been looped up with the keeper.
How I never broke my nose, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I should have tried that one, Brassy, but... So, yeah, so like I said, the first season was a struggle because we weren't good. And it as it went, it sort of just got worse and worse as we got into it. because we were looking like we could go down. And then on the way home from Bournemouth, it was brewing.
Came to an head.
And then it came to a head at Bournemouth where he was on people's backs. He'd come in and we noticed that after a game, we'd come in, we'd already seen a few dressing room things. The first time we saw it at Gillingham, we lost last minute at Gillingham. And what he used to say, he used to kill you. Because back in them days, I don't know whether you ever did it, Parky, but you used to get your car, if you were a Southern boy, as Burnley, you'd say, a Southern game, I can get home. So you'd get the physio of our kit man to drive your car down on the Friday, and after the game, off you go. And you say, Gaffer, as long as you asked him, he used to say, as long as you ask me, okay, so you'd say Tuesday, Wednesday, Gaffer, it's all right if I get my car drive down, I can shoot off after the game, get home. And he'd say, only if we win. So this is trapping me, because I could get my car driven all that way and then have to drive home 4 hours, drive back to Burnley. So, and when you're not a good team, it's a bit of a gamble. So I've got the car driven down early on in the season, so everything's great. It's early on in the season, sun was out, we're down at Gillingham and we get beat last minute too when he comes in, and I'm trying to hide in the corner. And I was actually on the line. They scored from a set place. I'm on the post. They actually hit me in the hand. Boy, I had the free header. He headed it. Hit me on the hand, but went in. I would have been sent off for the keep out. But I think you can't blame me for that. I'm on the line. See me. But he's looking for me. And he went, "And Blakey, you ain't going home." And he booted the bin. But what he didn't realise, it was a stone bin at Gillingham in the old days. So it never moved. And you heard his foot. And I'm trying to laugh. I thought he broke his toe. And so I'm sat there like the naughty schoolboy when you're getting told off by the headmaster. I'm trying not to laugh. Andy Cook's next to me. He's nudging me. He's trying not to laugh. My face is going red. I'm thinking he's done it. So then after he's had the implosion and I've had to drive back. But he's in the shower with the physio getting his foot looked. He broke his toe. So we'd already seen the Gillingham with the first time he lost it. And then at Bournemouth, we went down there. Lost 5-0. And it was so far gone. I think he thought, I've been hammering him. It's brewing. And yet we still lost 5-0. Maybe I'm on their back. Yeah. This isn't really working. This, because they're just... if I keep hammering them and I keep hammering them and they're still losing and they can't win a game, they're just obviously not good enough.
Were the lads petrified?
Yeah, so... Because it's got physical. So you could have a scrap. So you're always it's not like now. You know in football now, and look, I don't know what's been going on in these youth teams now, these academies, but there have been was it the recent one, Craig Bellamy, I remember. Cardiff did something happen with Craig Bellamy, bullying. Yeah. And now I look at Craig Bellamy, he's grown up where his youth team manager, like my youth team manager, it was looked at as bullying really, but I just always thought I lost a youth team game and I'm scared because I'm thinking the youth manager is coming for me. I see players at the Palace youth team get bullied and it was like swearing and effing and blinding at sort of 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
So to me, that's just mentally tough. It's just you grow up, you either, it's like sink or swim, isn't it? You're either mentally tough, if you can handle it, if you can't, then you never make it in football.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's not bullying, but you dig people out, you're on their back, they go home and tell their mum, the mum's ringing up the academy and you're getting a sack or whatever. Yeah. So with Stan, you always knew, look, it's in your face. Whereas now, it would be looked at, I'm sure there'd be players now, he would never got away with it now. With actual the way football is...
Gentlemen.
Hi.
How goes?
Hello. How we doing?
Good, I'm good. How does 8 craft beers for the price of 1 London pint sound for you?
I like what you've done there, Chrissy.
Yeah? You like it?
Yeah.
All you need to do is go to, right now, www.beer52.com/kosh and cover just £5, just a fiver, and you get your first case of 8 globally sourced, fresh as they can be, craft beers delivered right to your doorstep.
Back of the net.
Oh.
What more do you need to get us through these tough times?
You know, I've got on Tesco and queue 2 metres, one in, one out. Dropped off?
No. Nope. On your doorstep.
That's the same.
Get him in. All right.
You don't even have to speak to anybody. Just get the delivery man to knock on your door. Leave them on the doorstep. Thanks very much.
Disinfectant when you come in. Job done. Get him in the freezer.
Quick baby wipe.
Yeah, happy days. Happy days.
Crack it open. Sup away.
I spoke to my accountant the other day, and he's been it for 6 months. He says he fucking adores it. He says he loves it. Yeah.
Well, for the price of one measly London pint, you can be sipping 8 totally different craft beers sourced and created by the good folks at Beer 52. Not only that, but they'll drop it off right on your doorstep, so you don't even have to leave the house. And if you're looking to stock up on beer, now's your chance. John, I know you're looking to stock up on beer.
Yes, I could do a delivery, I'll be honest with you.
Well, since 2014, Beer 52 have been on a quest to find the best beer money can buy anywhere on the planet. And they're now the world's most popular craft beer discovery club. Each month, they send a case of craft beer from different parts of the world. Recent themes have included the Alps. Oh, oof. Frosty number.
Oh,
New Zealand.
I'll call it Evian.
The USA, Ireland, Korea and Germany.
Do they still send the Ferment magazine?
Oh, do they? Do they?
They can't
you can
still send.
Read about the beers that you're drinking.
They can't. No. Yes, that, you're not going to say it, are you?
There's an and.
You're not going to tell me you get a snack as well, are you?
Oh, you get a snack. Some little nibbles for going with your beer.
In these terrible, terrible times, it's nice to have some bloody good news, isn't it?
It's an isolation care package.
Precisely. All you've got to do is go to www.beer52.com/kosh and get your first case of 8 beers for a fiver. That's www.beer52.com/kosh. COSH.
That's why I don't go to London, me. Too much twit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Expensive for your pints, isn't it?
Exactly. And you've got your box of beer landing on your doorstep every month, so why bother?
Exactly. You don't need to, do you? You don't need to.
So, we're on. He came in, and again, I'm thinking, oh, what's going to happen here? We're 5-0. We're actually 1-0 down at half-time, and we were winning. We were all right here. We could get back in this. And then it was 5-0 down at Bournemouth. Back then in League One, going down to Bournemouth was hard work. They had a really good footballing team. And when that sun was out, nice pitch, you could get a chase in. And we got a chase in, 5-0. And we walked back, what's going to happen? And he said, it was all silent. And no one said anything for about 2 or 3 minutes. And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get in the shower, get on that coach, get the beers in, and fuck off back to Burnley. Oh. Okay. Yeah. And he said, hang on. Oh, here we go. And he said, Brassy, you will never take another throw-in ever again for this club. Because what happened on the fifth goal, Brassy tried to, we were 4-0 down last minute, he tried to take a quick throw, he threw it across the pitch, it got cut out, and Mark Steen went through and scored 5-0. So that was it. Okay, Brassy won't take the throw in. So we all get on the bus. Back in the old days, you all know it, Parky. The first thing you did, it was get on the coach, your fish and chips, and then where's the off licence? Yeah. And a couple of the experienced boys would get off. What do you want? It was just, here you go. Yeah, load up the bag, all the beers. So now 5-0 is bad enough. But when you're down in Bournemouth, the furthest away trip, and it's you got a 5-6 hour journey, now it's going to be a long one. So we set off. It's just all quiet. And then after a couple of hours, Stan comes down the bus. He pins us in. I always used to face the wrong way, have me back facing the driver. So he comes up, he pins us all in.
starts battering people, doesn't he? He's gone through two bottles of red wine. Yeah. Now he's starting on the Budweiser. So he started battering people. Midfield, how many goals you scored? None, yeah, midfield. And like battering Mark Ford, that used to play for Leeds, a youngster at Leeds. So start battering Ford in. He goes, look, what chance have we got? One of our other centre-halves, we had a Scottish centre-half called Brian Reid, was wearing glasses. He sat with Brassy at the back. He said, what chance have I got? I've got a colour-blind centre-half and a blind centre-half. No wonder we're shipping in fucking five.
Do you want them like...
Just battering people. Right? So, and then we had, I'm sat next to... It was a player called John O'Kane. We had him from Man United. He was a spaceman. Lovely lad, an absolute spaceman. He actually roomed us together and he said, you two are going to be playing on the right-hand side. He pulled us before we went on the Friday night. He actually pulled us on the Friday night before we went for the walk. And he said, you two, wait here. And we thought, what have we done now? I was always getting excuse ready because I knew it was coming. He was either going to pull me in the office or pull me to one side, pull me in the hotel. So I'm ready for the excuse. And he said, I'm going to play you right back, John. You two down that right-hand side. It's going to be dangerous. So John O'Kane went, yeah, Gaffer, it's going to be dangerous for me and Glenn. He went, yeah, but I don't know who for. I saw them. Right, so he started hammering John O'Kane, like, Man United, I've got you from United. What's happened to you? I had you at Bury. You done really well. What's happened to you? Get your mum on the phone. And he's like, no, she's not in, Gaffer. Get your fucking mum on the phone. No, don't ring my mum, Gaffer, right? So we get to Warwick Services and we had a goalkeeper, made his debut, Paul Crichton. So he's on loan from West Brom, get back, drop him off at Warwick Services. Everyone, see you later, Crichton, see you Monday. And I had to turn round and say, yeah, good debut, Crichton. Next thing I know, he actually wrote this in his book, Stan, and it was his best line, that. And then the Budweiser bottle comes over the top, whacks me on top of the head. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, you wanker, Blakey. He said, I should have sold you while I had the chance. I think, so we've still got another 3 hours to go with this. So we get back. Now everyone's heard. People can't believe it. So
he's thrown a bottle of Bud at you?
No, he whacked me over the head. The bottle of Bud, he was drinking it. And now he's just whacked me over the top of the head with his Budweiser bottle. So, but people have said to me, I can't believe it. Like, what did you do? I said, I was just happy. It could have been worse. It could have been one of them red wine bottles. They were fucking twice the size, right? So we get back. What's happened now? There's rumours in Burnley as well. Typical old school northern town, hard working northern town. Can't keep anything a secret. Everyone knows everything. Yeah. So now it's got out this coach journey back. So the next week, I think we had Stoke. I go out for a header and the centre-back heads me in the back of the head and spits my head open. I have 5 stitches. So you can imagine now was the rumour mill's going round. Stan Turnant, he's whacked Glenn over the head with his Budweiser bowl and he's had 5 stitches. So, but nothing ever come of it. But now in football, you do that, he's sacked and I could maybe take him to court or whatever. But again, it was just... We had that relationship.
Sounds like a love hate.
It was a love. He loved to hate me, Parky. But on the flip side, he did love you as well. And the amount of times that I'd have a game, and it was always me. I was always the scapegoat, and playing on that side of the pitch. I was always going to have one half with him playing on that right wing. I'm thinking, just is it going to be the first half or the second half? He's in my ear. I had sort of 6 years with Stan, and then once I left, I went to Reading under Steve Coppell and I played, and it took me about, I was into my first game and I thought, 20 minutes gone, my first game for Reading under Steve Coppell, and it dawned on me, I thought, wait a minute, I've not been shouted at once here. This is nice. I'm just playing my game here. And I've just not had the constant. Because I used to get, Blakey, you got 5 minutes. I'm thinking we've only played 2 minutes. I'm not even touched the ball yet. And yet, back in them days, League One, it was a battle and a scrap. It was a grind. You get into the winter time, the pitches weren't like they've got it now with these bowling greens. Especially even Championship pitches now, the pitches are £1 million, didn't they? Even in the Championship. So a lot of the games, you're stuck on the wing, the wind's blowing. It's hard work to even get a touch. You're living off scraps. After time, it's the opposition maybe shanking a ball to you, heading a ball to you, and it's coming to you. You're hardly getting a decent pass the whole game. So when you start a match and you got that in your ear, you got 5 minutes. And the thing is, his record was, we played the last game of the season. We had Northampton away, and he took Ali Pickering off after 5 minutes. That's a good shot. And
was it a bad five?
It was well, no, not really. Done the week before was well, or the away game we went to Stoke. Ali Pickering, he played for Stoke. It was a big game for him. His dad had just died. He hit one of the best goals I've ever seen on the pitch where I've been playing like live with someone. Yeah. He hit this 35-yard volley. It dropped out of the sky. I thought he was just about bring it down. He's a right back. Hardly scored a goal. So I'm thinking it got cleared to him. I'm thinking bring it down and give it back to me and I'll cross it. And he hit it first time on the floor. I think, what is it? Oh, and it went in. I couldn't believe it. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember Crouchy's goal where he took it on the chest? I was at Stoke.
Yeah.
And Crouchy, it was like that. And you're thinking, oh, that's unbelievable. We were battling relegation. Well, his dad's died. He was back at Stoke. We won 4-1. Great away win. Stayed up the next week home at Fulham. And then the last game, the pressure was off. Here we go. We can just enjoy it. Took picks off and then never got a contract. He was out of contract. But Lenny Jombo said, well, I have seen in 8 minutes. He's broke the record at Bury. He took some of the five to 8 minutes. So five, okay, he's beating his record. So you always knew it could be the early one. So that's what it was like.
There's early.
It was the constant, just on my back. And the time it finally got to me, the year we actually went up, we went to Luton and we got beat late 2-1. But we actually played really well. And then on the coach on the way back, he's dug me out, my fault again. And I actually went home after the game. So I wasn't on the coach, but a couple of the experienced players, like Sir Steve Davis, I think Paul Cook it was, Mitchell Thomas, they all said, Gaffer, look, Glenn, just be careful. you've dug him out again. He's like the best player we got. And I'd say I was young. It was strange how I'm saying. I was the youngest in the team. I was probably 24. And I was youngest in the team. That shows you an old, experienced team. So they said, look, Gaffer. And he was like, I know. And he actually rang me up that night. And said sorry, I was out. So and then the next day, so we're going training on the Monday, and they all said to me, Glenn, I know he's on your back, but it's because he cares, because he thinks you should be in the Premier League. He was always my biggest supporter as well. He'd always say,
how he's in League One.
He'd say, how he's in League One, it's ridiculous. He's better than like half the players in the Premier League, and the things he can do, the way he plays. And so
that's what it was.
No, I did, because he'd say things because Port Vale, in his first season when we were actually struggling, Port Vale sold Gareth Ainsworth for $2 million. Port Vale were a championship team. And it's strange how football changes, doesn't it? Port Vale were in the championship, Burnley struggling in League One. But they sold Gareth Ainsworth to Wimbledon for $2 million and thought, we'll just get Glenn Littlewin for the right-hand side for $1 million. So they bid $1 million. And he told me, he said, they put a bid in for $1 million. But I wasn't exactly delighted because I thought, well, it's Port Vale. They'll probably come back down and Burnley's a bigger club. But he just said, you're not going. He said, $2 million for Gareth Ainsworth. He said, if he's $2 million, you're $4 million. So he'd always say things like that. So... Plus, that's
before he even got to the club, he's offered you a new contract as well. So you must in the back of your head, you must have known, even though he's digging us out.
To play, I said, I couldn't get in a championship, a struggling League One side. He's trying to take me to the championship. So
I think we have actually skimmed over here the fact that the manager has hit the right winger over the head with a bottle of Budweiser. I think that's sort of gone under the radar.
I weren't bothered, like I said. And to me, it was all part and parcel of playing for Stan. But that wasn't the only time. But another time, this was when we'd had a promotion and we were doing really well. I think we were about first season in the championship. So we're overachieving massively. Just had a really good win away, Friday night game at Tranmere, 1-3-2. And we're having a training, we're in the gym, went on, session dragged on and on and on. And it got to the end, someone just ran and I let them go. And it was right at the end of a game. I think we were 2-0 down, round robin, five aside. We're 2-0 down, last 30 seconds, boy went through and scored anyway. So I thought, we lost anyway, we'll be off. and he said, stop. And he goes, what the fuck are you doing? I went, what? He went, you let him run. And I said, well, we've lost, didn't we? And he went, fuck. And I said, I'm knackered. I think I said, I'm knackered as well. I've been in here for 2 hours in this gym. And he went, fucking knackered. He said, fuck off.
So he sent me out to the gym, and I didn't realise, but as I opened the gym door, it was 100 mile an hour wind and rain up in Burnley, which was every day, pretty much so, yeah. So the doors flew open, crashed open, and I'm walking across the car park. So I get halfway across the car park, and John Mullin comes running out. He says, yeah, Blakey, he wants you back in. So I turn around, like, I'm soaked, like, rain's coming, wind's blowing, and as I'm walking back, all of a sudden, he comes out the door. So I'm right, here goes, his face is like, he's fuming. So I'm walking back, and as I get to him, I know what's coming here we go. And he's giving me the right hook. And as I walk past him, I've just sort of blocked it, and I've sort of caught it on the top of my hand. And then he sort of grabbed me, and we've fallen back through the doors. And I think it was like Cookie and Kevin Ball, they've come running over, grabbed him, and he's like, you lanky piece of piss, I'll fucking do you. And he's trying to kick me like, round him, and he's like trying to boot me. I'm half trying not to laugh. I'm thinking, what's he doing? He goes, fucking get out the other door. So I walk across the gym.
So you got the wrong door.
And I think he tried to say, I kicked open the doors. I never. I just opened the door, but the wind and rain. So I'm okay. I walk out the door. So I go out the other gym door, back. I'm sat in the dressing room, we're waiting. So then they all come in. So the experienced players all come in. Come on, Glenn, go and have a word with him. He sat up in the laundry, he used to sit in the laundry. Just look, we're going well. We don't need this to sort of get in the way. Just go and say you're sorry. I'm easygoing. Don't give a fuck about anything. Okay, fair enough. Even though it's not my fault, okay. So I walk in, I said, Gaff, I want one of them things, get on with it. Everything's all right. He went, fuck off. You never play for the club again. Now, considering he said that to me about four times, and I've been there 4 years, I'm okay, yeah. So I said to the boys, look, I've done it. I tried. He's not happy. So
it seems like it was in boxed under Sam, the line.
So Sam, his assistant, I don't know what you do to him, but you wind him up. He said he wants you running this afternoon. Okay. So we go out round the pitch. So we go for the jog. Me and Sam run. He goes, I don't want to run you. He says, but I don't see a way back for you. He said, I think you're finished. So, okay. Now, I sort of weren't bothered because I'm thinking, well, someone will take me tomorrow. I am giving it the big one because I'm thinking, fair enough, I won't play. I think I have plenty of takers. We've come into the championship. We're flying. Okay. So he said, but you do wind him up, you do things, you shouldn't have said that. I said, no, I said, at the end of the day, I said, but like, I'm not having anyone hit me. And he went, no, he never hit you. I went, yes, he did. And he went, oh, I never saw that. And I went, well, I'm not going to lie, am I? Because I said, at the end of it, I'm not bothered. I said, but he's hit me. Okay. He goes, well, don't run. So we went in. So I go home. 2 hours later, I get a phone call. News of the world. Glenn, we've heard that Stan Turns hit you. Is that true? Would you like to make a comment? And I just said, no. I said, no, look, nothing to tell. I said, things happen in football. Like I said, I'm thinking this is from my days at Palace.
Yeah.
These things happen. So I just thought, no story to tell. We go in the next day, don't we? No one says nothing. We're all in the dressing room at training. And Sam come in, we're going for a walk. And we used to do this a lot at Burnley. It was called this factory walk. A lot of times, the training ground was so heavy back in them days. So we just come out, we go for a walk. He set off first. The gaffer's 30 yards ahead of everyone. Set off with a couple of his assistants. We're all walking. He hasn't said nothing to me. And then as we walk around, it used to take about half an hour, this walk. Some bit longer. It would have taken you probably about 40 minutes, probably. but yeah, me and Robbie Blake used to be out the back, about 20 yards behind everyone, yeah. So we finally get back to training ground. He went, right, come on in, we go. He said, yeah, I apologise. Yeah, well, no, he never apologised. He said, yeah, Glenn, he said, he could have had me up. He said he could have like sort of told the chairman, I'd have been sacked on the garden leave. He said, I'm not bothered in my house. I'd have gone back doing my garden. I'm not bothered. But yeah, he said, but if I find out who grassed, that I'll kneecap you. Because he said we got like the mole. He said, if there's that grass, he said, if I find out who it is, I'll kneecap you. So I don't know who it was, who was the one who grasped. But and then he said, "Sam, if you want to stay here, do some finishing. You get on with it. The rest of you go in and have your shower." So and then that was it. And he said, "You're up, Blakey." And I went, "Yeah, right, Gaffer." And I went in and I said, "That's the best of apologies as you could have got." Yeah. But what I heard was that there was a woman who worked at the club in the offices up the stairs. She was in her car and she was having her lunch, but she didn't get out because it was raining. So she just thought, "Oh, I'm not going to get out of my car. It's lashing down. I just eat my sandwich in here." She's in the car, seen him hit me in a car park. So his words obviously got back that, no, he has been seen. Someone at the club seen him hit me. He didn't have a leg to stand on and that was it. But again, it's brave man to sack him. It's because he ran the club. Even the chairman was... And the directors, he bullied him.
How did he know that the News of the World had been in touch with you and you hadn't said anything?
Well, I don't know. It's just... It was just that... I don't even know if he ever knew what could have happened. There's no doubt about it. I could have got him sacked two or three times. If I would have wanted to, and if I'd have been one of them players, a bit of a grass myself... But to me, it was just no football. Things happen. I was a tough character myself, even though they used to say that the Northerners will send those Southern softies down the M6. Whenever we played the Southern team, we used to have the meeting on the Friday. We'll send them Southern softies back down the M6. And they used to think, we'll have one of them Southern softies. But but I was always that strong mentally. I could handle stuff and nothing bothered me. I could just put it one side, get on with it. But if I wanted to... It was just the chairman, like I said, they were so scared of him. Well, one of the directors once, we come in and we had to train before we left because the training ground, once the weather was up in Burnley, you look at the training grounds now and I think about where we were trying to get places trained. You're going to train and you're just training, trying to get somewhere here, there and everywhere because of the weather. It was either the snow, it was either the rain or the frost. Pitches were rock hard, so we had the undersoil eating at the ground. So we went in on a Friday. We're leaving for the game. So Stan said, "We'll come in, we'll do the teamwork, go through the shape on the pitch on the Friday, and leave on the coach." So we get there, they haven't put the undersoil eating on for him, right? So now we can't. We've got to walk through it now. Trainers, the pitch is like a skating rink, so we can't work on it. So we get on the coach. Chairman's there, director's there. He's come on, and the director, Mr. Holt, his name was, he went, "But Stan," he said, "it costs money, it costs £300 a night to keep the undersoil eating on." He said, "I don't give a fuck." And he battered this director. We're all laughing, here he goes, because we know it's coming. We think, whoever ain't put undersoil eating on is getting it. For 5 minutes, he battered this director. Director shitting himself. Chairman next to the director, looking out the window, not thinking, "I'm not getting involved in this. I don't want to help Mr. Holt out." And it was just everyone feared him at the club. Nowadays, the way the clubs are, the manager, he just does the team, doesn't he? Where Stan, he done the whole lot in the offices, the girls in offices, the accountant, he had to make sure, the secretary had to make sure she was doing her job. He just ran the whole club.
Did he sort the contract out?
And it was just,
players' contracts.
The season we were top of the league at the Championship, one of my best seasons, we were going really well. Top league, winning games, scoring lots of goals. We had four or five just great games away from home, 3-2. We went to Birmingham, won 3-2. Bradford, 3-2. Went to Preston in the Derby, 3-2. Went to Coventry. Again, these were big teams in the Championship. Yeah. Then just been in the Premier League. And we were just Burnley and a bit sort of ragtag and bobtails, really, turning up and having these great games and top of the league. And Man City bid 5 million. Under Kevin Keegan, but they were fourth. They were about 7-8 points behind us, I think. Yeah, so they put a 5 million bid in. So he called into the office.
They put 5 million in.
Yeah, it was. Well, back then, I'm thinking, I suppose it was quite big. What was that, 2000? So for the Championship as well.
Fucking hell of a bid.
So, yeah. So, but we were top, and I still had over... sort of a year and a half left on the contract, and he called me in, and with my wife as well. He said,
you and Sarah come down the office.
He's not returning.
I was like, are you sure I'm allowed to bring her, Gaffer? Yeah. No, bring her. So we go down the office, we sat there, he's with the chairman. And the chairman sat there, he's in the chair, he said, we sat on the sofa and he said, here's the job, he said. Manchester City have bid £5 million. He said, but you're not going anywhere. He said, we're going to double your contract, like 3-year deal, double your contract. There you go. Yeah, you're happy with that? So, again, you talk about regrets, and now I probably look back, probably should have gone. The Manchester City big club under Kevin Keegan, and they have Huckabee, Goater up front, they had that Berkovic, Benabia, whatever, they had midfield. Even though, like I said, we were top of the league and flying. Now you do look back, maybe that was a mistake. Should have gone, but that's football. You make decisions. But again, could I have been brave enough to tell Stan, you either sell me or I'm not playing or whatever. Nowadays, players are a bit braver. But when you sat in the office with Stan and I just went, and they were doubling my money. I was happy at Burnley. I loved it. Great bunch of lads. I was part of the furniture. Just thought, great place to play. So I didn't even say anything. I went, okay. And he said, there you go, chairman, get it done. And the chairman went, I don't know, Stan. And he went,
so we said, and went, yeah, so, the chairman
so no, so the chairman went, I don't know, Stan. He went, what do you mean you don't know? Like, get it done. And I'm looking at the chairman. He never said nothing. And then it all went quiet. So I didn't really know what to say because it was all a bit of a shock as well. Because
shock to the chairman,
but the thing is, nowadays it's your agent. You would always ring you, wouldn't he, and say, yeah, "Look, Man City put a bid in. This is that." But then I just been called down one afternoon, and then just like that, £5 million. I'm going to double my money, 3-year deal. So yeah, then in the end, Stan went, "Okay, chairman, sell him." And he went, "I ain't doing that, Stan. The fans would be going mental." He went, fucking get the job done. And he went, okay, Stan. And then that was it. And then, okay. And then I walked out. And I thought, why did my missus have to be there for that? I'm not really sure why she was there. But, and then we just got in the car and drove home. Yeah. And then my missus said, so you're doubling your money, eh? I went, yeah, looks like it, yeah. What are you on now? I don't know, because there's bonuses and goals, appearance money, but yeah. So that was it. He just like I said, ruled the club. But in fairness, the chairman, when he first came in, it wasn't the chairman who appointed Stan. A new chairman came in. The first year we struggled with Stan, He came in about, would it have been Christmas time?
The new chairman.
Yeah, and we spent a bit of money. We signed your old manager, the Penguin, Mickey Mellon.
Oh, yeah.
From Blackpool, I think Mickey came in for a couple of £100,000. We signed Lenny Johnson from his old club, Burnley. We brought Steve Davis, who was a really good player. He'd done well at Burnley before, done really well at Luton. We got Steve back. That was a great signing, but even though we signed these players and spent money, we still lost games. We weren't really doing well, and it still looked like we could go down. And we went to, we're at home. We played Gillingham at home, and we were 4-0 down at half time. We get in there, and he said, "What are you doing?" So we all sat there. I was actually sub. He said, "Blakey, you're coming on." I went, "Okay." And then, what are you doing? So everyone's like, what do you mean, what we're doing? We say it. What are you going to say? He said, go on, fuck off. Get out, you go. Okay. And so we just all were on the pitch for 15 minutes. The crowd were hammering you. Everyone just stood, just talking. And yeah, well, we only got beat 5-0. You know? So that might have worked. Today I only lost the second half 1-0. Whether I come on made that difference, I don't know. But there was a player, I think he got all five, Bob Taylor. His name was centre forward for Gillingham.
West Brom.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, he got all five, I think. So, yeah, he only scored about 8 all season. So we come in, and so even these new signings hadn't worked. And we come in, so Stan, like, what's going to happen?
I think it was either Tuesday night or Wednesday night, midweek, we had Man City at home. Now, Man City flying, pushing for promotion. And he goes on the radio, Stan, it's not looking good, and now you've got Man City up. He said, no, trust me. He said, I guarantee this. It'll be a full house, 20,000. There'll be 5,000 Man City fans. Yeah, I guarantee it won't be 5 against Man City. And he was right, it was 6. And the last sort of 20 minutes, he just kept running through and scoring. We kept going through. We ended up with 4 or 5 up front, and we'd have an attack, they'd break and score. It was like, I think the last 3 goals were just replicas, a 1-yard tap in for Gareth Taylor and Sean Goat on the back post, one just walking the ball into the net. Got beat 6-0. So now there was a few of us, about 4 or 5, went back to my house after the game, had a few drinks, and we were all talking, and we thought, you've got to get the sack off that. You lose back-to-back games. You're struggling anyway. You've made signings, spent a bit of money, spent over £1 million. 5-6 back-to-back. And he went down the pub with the chairman, and we heard he just said, chairman, back me or sack me sort of thing. And fair play, the chairman, again, probably scared. Whether I'll give him a lot of credit, I don't know, but he was probably scared he might get battered if he sacked Stan, but he stuck with him. And then we had a run, I think unbeaten the last 11 games, and then it come together, and then we stayed up.
Did anything change?
And then maybe a couple of made another couple of signings. Paul Cook, Tom Cowan come in, and
did
then it says no not really no it was just that the It was just, we got a couple of results, and like I said, it all came together. And then we went the 11 unbeaten, stayed up, and then we thought, oh, okay, we're 11 unbeaten. Now we've spent this money, the new signings may be settled in next season, we'll be up there. And we went up that next season. So Stan, he always said, there's a cancer in the club, and the only way you get rid of cancer, you've got to kill it all. And it took him the 2 years, and we went up. So it's like the 1 year of struggle, and just, getting rid of... And it was hard going, like I said, a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of scraps along the way. But the thing was, the amount of times he resigned, you'd come in every week and, oh, he's resigned, he's cleared his offside. People are seen taking his chair and his desk outside the front of the ground, loading it up. He's not here at training today, but do training. And we're like, okay, yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. But very loyal to his players as well.
Yeah.
And the flip side is that he did care as well. He cared about you. And when we had a game, I got knocked out in a game against Norwich. I went up for header, woke up in the hospital. All of a sudden, I'm, what's going on here? And the nurse, okay, Glenn, just lie still. You're just having a CT scan. See if everything's okay. Is it okay if I can have your shirt? Just let me do this. Just check if I've got brain damage. And then I'll sort you out your shirt. Yeah, I'll sign it for you. Yeah. So at that time, for some reason, we were playing Norwich, but I thought we were playing Rotherham. I'd said, was it Rotherham? 2-1. It was like, no, we were 1-0 up against Norwich when I come off. But I woke up the next morning. It was about 9:30 Sunday morning. I was up early. So I go down the stairs. I can hear sort of voices in the kitchen. So I'm thinking, who's there at 9:30 Sunday morning? And then my wife's talking and I hear these voices. And I walk in. It's the gaffer and the doc. He's brought the doc round. Are you all right? And now what manager would do that? Mm. Turn up at your house Sunday morning with a doc. The doc probably weren't happy. Fucking Stan dragging me round on Sunday morning. Yeah. Got better things to do than go around and see if he's all right. But I've got to do it. And that's what it was like. And it was a better than the first time he ever came round my house was, this was the first time it ever happened that I actually believed it could happen. Was I'd come off against Wigan and we went out that night. And now when you're getting at 4 in the morning, got to be up at treatment, got to be in for 9. Come off, bad ankle, got the whack on the ankle. Nah, ballooned up. Nah, fuck that. I'm not getting up. Can't be bothered to get up. Nah, sleeping, too tired. Next thing I know,
half nine, I'm getting a boom, 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 boom on the door. So I wake up, who's that? So I go to the window, like, I look round the curtain, then I, oh, he's on the driveway. I think, oh, what's he doing? So now I'm shitting myself. I'm going to hide. So I can hear it. Blinky, you in there? He's shouting for the letterbox. I'm just hiding in the bedroom. Thinking, don't answer, right? So he's there for 15 minutes, not going, oh, you're in there. You fucking answer this door. No, not answering. So I just leave it. He goes, I'm looking again. Finally gets in his car. He goes, thank God for that. 20 minutes later, I get a phone call. Andy Payton. He said, Glenn, he said, did you go in for treatment this morning? I went, nah, Pates. He went, you won't believe this. He said, the gaffer's knocking at my door. I went, I do believe it. I said, he was knocking at my door. Fair ago. And he went, what did he say? I said, I don't know, I'm hiding in the bedroom. I came in the next day for training and I'm thinking, I've got to train. Oh my God, there's no way I can sort of miss training. Yeah. I'm hobbling in there, ballooned up the ankle, and I'm hobbling in, and he's like, he's waiting for me. He said, Blinky, you better be fucking training. I went, yeah, Gaff, I'm fine. Just the whack on the ankle. I'll be all right. Yeah, it's getting through it. But that, oh, that, so that was the time when you could turn up at your house. Yeah. So he was the manager that you knew he's crazy, and there was something happening every week, and it could have been anyone as well. A lot of the time it was me, but it could be anyone. You never knew when it was going to happen. But the amount of players who left, and we'd play them like later on in the season, and you'd chat to them before a game, how are you getting on? And they'd all said the same thing. I'd walk back and play for Stan tomorrow.
Yeah,
and that was the aura of him, the genius of it all, the mad genius, and
it's a bit like Brian Clough-esque, really. Isn't it?
And it was just, but like I said, it just the players, it was that love, he cared about, yeah, loyal as well,
yeah.
And the amount of people that would still sort of in touch with him, go round. If ever I go back in Burnley, last time I was there last summer, you go round the house, the answer door loves it. And you'd be there chatting for hours about the stories, about things that we didn't know that we were in Germany, say this would have happened. And
it were 8 million. And that happened. It were 8 million Man City bid.
And the chairman would have trebled your money. Not double it. Oh, I wish I'd have known that at the time. But that was it. It was just, you go around there and it was just that relationship you had. Like nothing in football. And I left. And then after that, I played 3 or 4 managers. And no one was like it.
Nothing the same.
Nothing. And nowadays, you wouldn't be able to do it. Nowadays, it wouldn't happen.
A lot of managers get mentioned on here. And we've got a list, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
He's straight in. He's straight top in? Three.
He's just, yeah, he's just made
straight
it.
Straight in at the top three. We've got Holloway. And
yeah, and what happens as well, look wherever he went, he did well, really.
Yeah.
And it was unfashionable clubs. It wasn't as if he had all the money to spend. And it was just, I don't know how he did it. Because it should have worked, really. The team we had at Burnley, when you see some of the ages, people were let go from championship clubs, not good enough. 5 years later, they were top of the championship at 35, 36 years of age. And yet they were like rejects with other managers, take bad apples in, and with other managers wouldn't have had the time of day for. Yeah. No, he's a bad apple. Stan gets him in. And he just knew how to put it all together.
Yeah.
You weren't playing when that happened at Sheffield United, were you? When he...
Yeah, well, no, I weren't playing. I was there. I was up watching in the boxes. And how it happened, there was about 5 of us injured. But because it was the end of the season and we needed to win to get in the playoffs, so he took everyone. All the old squad went. But we think, where are we going to sit? Luckily, Ronnie Jepson knew Neil Warnock. He played for Warnock a few times. So Jeppo says, all right, boys, Warnock's got us in the box, the other side of the pitch. Oh, that's good, Jeppo. So we're up in the box. Half time, Jeppo gets a phone call. What's that? Who's that? It's Ange, the PA for Stan. You and Lenny have got to come over. What? Okay. So him and Lenny go over. So we don't know what's happened. End of the game, we go over. Gaffer got like the split. I think, well, I don't know if his lip split or his eye was up. We come, what happened there? Jeppo said, yeah, him and Kevin Blackwell. We said, are you right, Gaffer? Yeah, but you see, yeah, wait till you see the other guy. Kevin Blackwell comes out doing his hair. Yeah, he's like, okay, Gaffer, what happened there? But what they used to have at Sheffield United was the fire exit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what happened because, like I said, I weren't there. But what we heard, they used to send someone round from their dressing room, listen at the fire exit to your team, talk your tactics.
Yeah.
Now, Stan, he reckons he booted the fire exit open. He knew what was going on and him and Kevin Blackwell. But for some reason, no one ever knows why, him and Neil Warnock never got on. Now, you would look at them and say they are quite that similar, the old school. Don't know how they do it, but they do a good job. But they never got on. So it was always us and Sheffield United. You never really thought between the clubs.
Yeah.
But right, as players, it was like, this is a big game. They never shook hands. And Stan hated him. I don't know. I honestly don't know where it came from. But we all knew it. He hated Neil Warnock. So whenever we played them, okay, it's Stan, Neil Warnock, it's a Sheffield United. We never knew where it come from. But
that was my full debut, were away at Sheffield United. And, you know, Derek Fazakerley.
Yeah.
He did in England with Keegan, didn't he?
Yeah.
So we've gone in, we've sat down, and just as Nigel Spackman's about to speak, and Faz went, just wait on a minute, and he's gone, and he's fucking booted the fire door. Bang, smashed against the thing. I'm like, what the fuck? Is this what normally happens? Not luckily, no one behind me. You know when you said
were they doing it? I don't know. Later on, when I was at Reading, they spoke about it as well. At Reading, when we played Sheffield, and they'd say about someone standing. I think at Reading, we left it open. Come to think that there was a game, we just said, leave it open.
Yeah.
Don't care about whether they're listening. No one's standing there. We'll see. Yeah.
He must be able to handle himself then, Blackwell.
And it was there. Well, yeah, don't know. But I didn't see it, so I don't know whatever happened. I'm just turned up at the end of the game.
Had they asked for you and Lenny to come?
Lenny and Jeppo to sort it out half time where it kicked off, so he wants his bodyguards in. I don't know why he never wanted me over there. I never got the shout. He said, Ange, get Jeppo and Lenny, tell Glenn and Weller. I think it was Paul Weller said to me, they can stay. Them two aren't much use. But, the another time as well with David May was when he headbutted David May.
The Manu Centre.
Yeah, Manu. We brought David May on and it all kicked off. We were training, never knew what happened. Turned around, what's happening there? And he told Maisie to fuck off. There you go. Maisie's walking off. What's all this about? What happened? So then Maisie's halfway across the training ground and then we hear Stan shout out. So then we carried on. Okay, carried on. Then we hear Stan shout out, go on, fuck off back to United Reserves. And then so Maisie's turned round, so then we all stop again, here we go. Then they both, like, Stan marches over again, you know what's coming, here we go. And he headbutted Maisie never done nothing. He just took the headbutt, okay,
just in shock.
And then, and then we got in at the dressing room, Maisie, and he's getting his bags. No, that's it, I'm not playing for this club again, you won't see me ever again. Oh, okay, Maisie, see you later, mate. Off he went.
Never to be seen again.
No, he was there next morning. And we walk in, and he's the first one in the dressing room, Maisie. So we all walk in, and I thought you weren't playing ever again, Maisie. He went, no, Stan rang me last night. He's made me captain. okay, then. Got the headbutt, made captain. There was a few wishing they got the headbutt. Oh, I wish he'd have headbutted me and made me skipper.
Champions League winner with Al, you know.
Man.
So we had the Fergie air dryer. Yeah, David Mays had the Fergie air dryer and the turning headbutt.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance.
Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.